Amen. And there is no other name, Father, given among men by which we must be saved. Worthy is the name of Jesus. And this morning, as we worship, I pray that our worship will be honoring to you, our Heavenly Father, acceptable in your sight. And may everything that we do please you today, Father, as we bring our praise to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. And again, welcome to worship this morning. Dads, I'll ask you to take a moment to stand back up again for just a second so we can recognize you. And we want to thank you guys for being here today. You know, Father's Day is usually the day that a lot of guys decide not to come to church, so I'm just real proud of you guys being here today. And for some reason, most guys would rather go to the beach on Father's Day than church, and I kind of guess I get that, but I'm glad that you're here today. We welcome you. Well, this morning, we're going to go back into Ephesians chapter 6. We have been there for the past couple of weeks, and we're going to continue there for the next few weeks, but we want to ask you again today. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." And folks, so important to remember that. People are not your enemies. People are not the target of your hatred and of your resentment and bitterness. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Our wrestling, our battle, our warfare is not with people. It is not with flesh and blood, but with the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So today we go back into our thoughts and our study of the armor of God. This past week, I read an article online about an uptick in sales of body armor in areas like Uvalde, Texas, near the Robb Elementary School. The uptick in body armor was not adult body armor, but body armor for children as young as 6 years of age. Parents are armoring their children as they send them into school. They have backpacks that have armor plates in them. They have T-shirts that are armor plated that they can wear under their clothing. And they have Kevlar vests for six-year-olds. And they're backlogged 4 to 6 weeks in purchases. Parents have realized now that their kids are going off to school in a war zone. But parents, I want you to realize today, especially if you have younger children, if you have a child that gets on a school bus or you drop them off at school, you're dropping them off in a war zone. Now, that's not to stoke fears of a shooting, and it's not a critique of public school. The battle your kids are in is a spiritual battle, and it starts very, very young. There's a battle for the hearts and minds of your children in a culture that operates according to the course of this world and is under the power of the evil one. The warfare is unseen, but it is very, very real. You see, the devil doesn't want you to believe he exists, or if he does, He doesn't want to be taken seriously. He would rather we think of him as that little angel that sits on our shoulder and says, have one more donut. Okay? And that's about as far as we, as he wants us to think about him. But he is a very, very real and a very dangerous adversary. Part of the schemes, part of the methodology of the enemy is to deceive you into thinking that he doesn't really even exist. Many of us have bought into that. But even at a very young age, the enemy is reaching for your child's heart. And this is not just a school issue. This is everything they watch, from the newest Pixar movie that shows a kiss between two women, to the music they listen to the videos they watch. Chris Evans, who voiced Buzz Lightyear in the new Pixar movie Lightyear, was interviewed about the insertion of the same-sex kiss in this movie. And this is what he said. He said, the goal is that we can get to a point where this kind of thing is the norm, and that this doesn't have to be some uncharted waters, that eventually this is just the way it is. Now, that's the agenda of this culture that your children are growing up in. The world system that's under the control of the evil one is seeking to distort their thinking, to control their feelings, to turn their spirits against the God who created them. The enemy is always lurking. He doesn't go to sleep at the wheel. Now, I'm not trying to get you to go out and buy a body armor. The armor you need and that your children need is available and free, but it's not automatic. Dads, I need you to take the lead in this. Take the lead in preparing your family for battle. If you lived in the Ukraine today, the conversations you would be having with your family would be far different than the conversations you have with your family in sunny Florida. Here, protecting kids means making sure they wear sunscreen when they go out. But in a war zone, it's a completely different level of conversation. Are you aware that your family is in a war zone? Do you know that? Do you accept that? Do you understand that? You would be preparing your children if you lived in the Ukraine, warning them, drilling them. What happens if missiles fall or bombs explode? You know, I just wish for a moment that God would remove our blinders so we could really see what's going on around us in the unseen world. It would change us radically if we could just see it for a moment. We need spiritual fathers. I'm grateful whenever I speak to a man that I sense is really a man of God. Lives that out before his family. That man, in my book, is a hero. We need spiritual fathers. Some of you didn't have that growing up. Maybe your father was passive or absent or abusive. And Father's Day is kind of tough for you because it reminds you of what you didn't have. Now, I was very blessed. I had a spiritual dad. I had a spiritual grandfather who held my hand and walked me to Bible school for years. I had a great godly man for a father-in-law, but some of you need a spiritual father today. We need older men in this church to step up and fill that role. Older guys, listen to me. You can spend the latter years of your life collecting seashells if you want to, or you can step into the battle that's going on around you. And there are younger men hungry for this. I talk to them all the time who would be very, very thrilled to have an older man to say, I'll walk with you. I'll point out things to you. I'll help you be a better dad. I'll help you learn how to walk this out with your family. They would be very grateful to have your influence and leadership. But three things I want to talk about today. First of all, I want to talk about the command in this verse, in this passage. The command we talked about, and Jason brought this out last week. Jason pointed this out, that the command that carries out throughout these verses is one word, stand. It's stand. That's the command that we're to be following. Stand firm. Stand fast. Don't give ground to the enemy. Put on your armor. Step into the battle. Your command is very simple. Be dressed, be ready, and stand. All right? That's the first thing we need to keep in mind. But secondly, there's an armor piece that we need to talk about today. And again, the armor of God, which is really putting on Christ, is divided into two groupings of three. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We have put on the belt of truth. We have put on the breastplate of righteousness. We have put on the helmet of salvation. These things are something that we put on when we became Christians. So having put these things on, then we are to take up the shield of faith. Then we are to take up the sword of the Spirit. Then we are to take up the shoes of the gospel of peace. Truth is the unwavering truth of God. It's the revealed will of God. Much that passes for truth today is very subjective. It's an opinion, and there's a whole lot of opinions out there, but God's truth stands out. It's timeless. It's not conditioned by the culture. It applies in every place and in every age. We have our minds prepared and our spirits prepared for battle. Now we turn to guarding our hearts. The breastplate of righteousness guards our heart. It's a call to protect and guard your heart from the attacks of the evil one, because a wound to your heart in battle is fatal. If your heart goes down, you know, the need for protecting your spiritual heart is a priority. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? Well, that's like a Kevlar vest that many of our first responders wear. And it protects them from attacks to their lungs and hearts and other vital organs in their body. The breastplate of righteousness in our spiritual armor serves the same purpose. The enemy attacks you with accusations, with condemnation, with deception. And you have to guard your heart against those things. The breastplate deflects those arrows that are aimed at your heart. You know, our hearts are protected as we stand in the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness, by the way, is not just doing the right thing. It is knowing that our right standing with God is not just dependent on how we behave. It's knowing that the righteousness of Christ has been given to us, imputed to us, imparted to us. We are seen by God as just as righteous as Jesus Christ by faith in him. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, Paul said, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." The opposite of righteousness or rightness, according to Dr. Tony Evans, is wrongness. We're either right with God or we're wrong. We walk in righteousness or we walk in wickedness separated from him. Walking in wickedness or wrongness is like letting trash accumulate in your house. You know how it goes. You let dishes pile up in the sink. You let trash pile up in the garbage can. You know, guys, for some reason, we like to play Jenga with garbage. You know, how high can we pile this can without emptying it? You know, I mean, there's just that challenge that's there. You know, how much trash can we actually get in the garbage can without it falling over? You know, when your bathroom gets filthy. This is how your inner world looks to God when you are not right with him. He sees the trash. He knows you're trashy, even if your neighbors don't know it. And sometimes we settle not for the righteousness that God offers us freely through Jesus, but we settle for waste management. You know how that goes. We're trashy, but we don't want other people to know we're trashy, right? So if you have company come over, what do? Well, you stuff it in the closet, right? You just push things aside. But the problem is trash attracts other things. It attracts insects and bugs. Listen, we try to hide and cover up our sins. We deny that it exists in us. We are managing the trash, but we're not getting rid of it. We compress it or we try to do something to cover it over. This past week, a good friend of mine passed away. David Williams, we did his funeral on Monday. And David has been a good friend here for me for 30 years. He's a great, great guy, just a wonderful man. One of the things that he always did for me is made sure my freezer was full of deer meat. He would hunt and, you know, he would, you know, make sure that I had meat in my freezer. Well, early on in our stay here, when we first moved in, we went back to Kentucky for a week. And apparently just after we left, I had a refrigerator out in the garage that had all the deer meat in it. And apparently the refrigerator went down just after we left. And you know where this is going. So we get back home and our whole garage is this horrific odor that we can't, you know, you can't escape it. It's terrible. And so we took the deer meat out of the freezer and we put it in a trash can and we put it in the side yard where there was an empty field between us and the next house. And we just tried to set it over there because it was going to be several days before the garbage people came to pick it up. And this thing, this meat, in July heat in Florida, it smelled horrific. So I had my kids, I know my kids are in here somewhere today. I had my kids, we would go out with cans of Lysol and just spray this thing. I mean, just try to contain it, you know, just try to spray it down enough that we could live with it until we could get it to the garbage can, you know, garbage man. So we were managing this garbage. I mean, and it was awful. I mean, there were flies coming in from Maine. You know, I mean, they were coming in from all over the place, and visiting this odor. It was horrific. Actually, we finally, I guess I can confess this now. Pam and I finally, because we just couldn't get it to stop smelling. It was awful. I mean, we put lids on. We had everything on it. We would go out and she would bring this protective clothing home from the operating room at Mayo Clinic, and we would go out. We looked like we were dealing with radioactive waste. I mean, we were just covered up with this stuff, trying to cover these things up. And we finally ended up. Actually, we ended up taking the meat, and late one night we went down to Kentucky Branch down on 13 and dropped the meat over into the water to feed the gators. So now we know what Billy Joe McAllister was dropping off the Tallahassee. You know, it was rotten deer meat, but we couldn't handle it. It was awful. And my car stunk for another week, you know, after we carried it over there in the back of my car. But you can't, you know, you can't hide sin, folks. You think you can. You think you can get away with it, but there is something about it that just continues to grow and get worse and worse and worse and worse. Walking in righteousness means we're going to say, you know, it's not just, we can't just manage unrighteousness. We have to get rid of it. We have to walk in the righteousness of Christ. And so finally, that leads us to the response that we need to guard our hearts. Above all else, the proverb says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You know, part of the job of your physical heart is to push blood through about 100,000 miles of arteries, veins, and capillaries. If you took all the little veins and arteries and capillaries in your body and set them side by side, it's about 100,000 miles for an adult, which means you could literally wrap the world four times with all the flow of the blood that goes through your body. And if that organ fails, everything goes down. Nothing else works. Spiritually, the same thing is true. Your heart gives strength to every part of your inner invisible person. If the enemy can take your heart out, he can control you. So you guard your heart. And listen, part of that is something that you need to keep watch over. James 1:21 says, therefore, put aside all wickedness. Don't tolerate wickedness. Don't manage it. Don't just try to hide it and spray it down and contain it. You can't do that. You set it aside. You get rid of it. And if you're a believer, there is righteousness in you. You received all the righteousness of Christ that you will ever need when you trusted him to save you. You have the righteousness of Christ in you. You just got to learn to release it. You don't create it. You don't have to make new righteousness. You just release the righteousness that is in you because of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this too as well. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, Today you can come and do that. Because the greatest way you'll ever guard your heart is to give it to Jesus and say, Lord, will you please take care of this for me? Will you please guard my heart for me? Because I cannot do that myself. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you would, just to bow your heads with me. And Father, as we deal with these issues that are so vital to us as Christians, we know we live in a world that is anything but friendly to the faith. It is no friend of Christ. It is no friend of righteousness. And I pray that you will help us, Lord, to put on ourselves the full armor of God. We may take it on ourselves that we may walk in the righteousness that Christ gives us. And help us, Lord, to live in such a way that you are honored, that our hearts are protected. I pray for our families. I pray for our children. Lord, that you will also guard their hearts in this wicked day that we live in. And help our lives to glorify you as we do this. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, and we love you. And I pray that in this day, as maybe those here this morning who have never given their hearts to Jesus, who have never come to terms with the fact that there are things in their life that they think they have hidden, that they think they have stuffed aside, that they think they have moved out of the way. But you are very aware, Father, of the unrighteousness that's in our lives. So help us, Lord, to live in a life that is honoring to you, is pleasing to you, and that is righteous before you. And I pray your blessing, Father, as we come to this moment of decision. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you have a decision to share, the moment that you want to share that, this is the time to do that. So you can come right now as we do.